God bless you. Welcome. If you take your Bibles, please, and go to Daniel chapter 3. Topic of today's teaching is building trust. Now, we tend to talk a lot about believing and faith, and they're both good words. Pretty much similar meaning in the English when you look up the words. Faith can be described as something that you have where you may not be sure of the outcome. You have faith that'll happen. Same as believing. You might say, I'm really believing that he shows up or this happens. So it can be based on something that has not yet come to pass. Now, biblically speaking, when we believe something, the Word of God promises, we believe it, we get the results right away because the Bible promises that. And this is all it takes biblically. Now, I'd like to differentiate a little bit between believing and faith and trust. Give an example. Balaam was a guy who we all know, a prophet of the Lord at times, and he believed and God showed him things. But knowing Balaam, at the same time as he was bringing forth messages for God when he believed God, he was also interested in doing things for money, whatever it took to get money. He also was the one who encouraged idolatry within Israel. So, sure, he was able to believe God, but did he really have a life of trust? And it would seem like he really didn't. So trust is what underlies, it's the undergirding of believing and faith. So believing is believing, let's leave it in its category, and trust is trust. Now, if you believe something, you get the results, but that is not only our end goal. We want to build a consistent and faithful believing based on our trust in God. Another example I can think of is the 10 lepers that came to Jesus Christ. Now, 9 of them never thanked God, but one of them thanked God. They all got the results of what they were believing, but only one of them really wanted to go further than that. See, God is not a vending machine. You pop in a prayer and out comes the result. We're encouraged to build our trust in him over time. Daniel chapter 3, a record you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in verse 13, the Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And we can get really excited about these young men. Say, oh, aren't they great? They believe God. They were so wonderful. But, you know, sometimes we might lose sight of how dangerous of a situation they were facing here. It literally was life and death. It's hard sometimes to put yourself into the whole parameters of the biblical records that we're reading. But they were facing death. Now let's see what they respond by saying. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we don't have to give you a response. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So they were looking to God for their deliverance. But look at verse 18. But if not, in other words, there was the possibility that they wouldn't get or end up with the result that they wanted. But if not, for whatever reason, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's trust. That's trust. They trusted God. You know, we always talk about praising him when things are good and praising him when things are bad. Now, do we really do that? Or is it just a little cute phrase that we have? Praise him when things are good, things are bad. That's up to us. Trust, that's trust. We praise God. God is always there. God always works for us. Now, we can also go down the road of saying, well, I've got this pain, I've got this problem, I can't seem to, this God thing doesn't really work. Why do these things always happen to me? That's not trust. See, sometimes we're able to believe God, sometimes we may not be able to. Situations arise, things come up. But our trust and relationship with God has to be way better than those instances. We have to recognize we're in a spiritual battle here. Sometimes things don't turn out so good. Sometimes they turn out great. Regardless, where is our trust? Do we trust him in these situations? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle and company. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, that again, just like the situation that we read about with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, this was a matter of life and death. They were thinking they might die. Verse 8. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. They thought they were going to die. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Dire situation. Who delivered us. Now listen to this. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You see, God delivered us. He's delivering us. And he will deliver. They knew God would come through. That's trust. Now, if anybody had examples in his life of situations that may not have turned out the way he necessarily wanted, it might be Paul the Apostle. Many shipwrecks, many beatings, you know, being whipped up to 39 lashes each time. You know, perils among brethren, perils in the ocean, perils in the city, everywhere. Did things always work out well for him? No, not necessarily. But he still continued to trust. God delivered us, is delivering us, and will deliver us. How about David? You know, evil all around. You know, he was in constant situation. If you read the Psalms, you see all the times he says, you know, they want to do this to me and they want to do that to me. It was very, again, life and death situations. Yet he writes, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. Shadow of death, I will fear, thou art with thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Were things always good for him? No. But his underlying trust was solid. He knew that God would come through. Paul knew God would come through. Shadrach, Meshach, they knew that God would come through. And if he didn't matter. Or situations came up where they couldn't believe him, to be more accurate. It didn't matter. Their trust was not going to change. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy, here's a pattern of speech that God uses quite often, or we find it quite often in the scriptures when God is talking to his people. Deuteronomy 4 is just one example. We could read somewhere else. In a few places in Deuteronomy, we read this sort of exhortation to Israel. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it. So the word was not supposed to change. Don't add or subtract, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor. By the way, that's the one that Balaam was getting Israel to worship, was Baal Peor. The Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But you did that, you that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. You see here, their trust in him is based on what he said, his word. The word of God is the key to building trust. Now we always talk about all scripture is profitable. You know, for doctrine, reproof, correction. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, you know, ready for any, that, like a ship, ready for anything that comes its way. You're prepared because the word of God is what you base your trust in God on. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. This is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations. What is their wisdom? That they keep the scriptures, they keep God's word. We shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Why? Because they knew the scriptures and they believed in them. Verse 8, and what nation, So verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation great is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as you, as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And if we read Deuteronomy chapter 6, you see where the similar exhortation, you know, you talk about the word of God when you're walking around, when you're coming here, going there, coming in, going to talk to your children, write it here, write it there. It was to be what they were immersed in. You know, the word of God exhorts us, you know, we're to incline our ear to the scriptures. Don't let them depart from our heart. Focus on them. Not to forget them and all the things, many of the things that God asks his people to do, Passover and the various feasts they had throughout the year, even the rainbow and all the other things there were, so that they would not forget. They're to remember him, not to forget. Look at Luke chapter 4. The word of God was what they based their trust on, and it was the word of God that showed to the people around them, my goodness, these people sure are wise and understanding. Why? Because they trusted God's word and they didn't take anything away from it or add to it when they were walking with him. When they did, things didn't turn out so good. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, no kidding, 40 days. He hadn't eaten anything. He definitely hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, which was real temptation after not having eaten for so long. Most people would have said in this situation, yes, I need food. But look what Jesus Christ said. And Jesus answered him, verse 4, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, he's saying that, yeah, you need food to live on, but you can't live on food. In other words, you can't live without the word of God. Difficult situation for him. And his response, you can't live without the word of God. See, learning to trust God is built upon the word of God. It's there we learn about salvation, the manifestations, that he'll never leave us, never forsake us, and on and on. Look at Psalm 103. Here's a wonderful example. You know, you read Psalms like this and you get a great indication of who God is, the kind of God he is, and what he's blessed with. And this is what, these are the kind of things you don't forget. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, forgives all iniquities, heals all diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And these are the kind of things you remember to continue to build your trust on daily. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Look at verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them. Great mercy toward them that fear him. And you can read on and on. He knows our frame. He knows that we're dressed. His mercy is great. And we're told to bless the Lord and to praise him. You see, these are the kind of things we don't forget. We incline our ears onto. We keep them in the center of our heart so we continue to have that undergirding trust. So when the situations come up in life where we need to believe him, we have that trust there. And that is the difference. Trust should never wane regardless of the situations we're confronted with. Look at John chapter 11. Here's a couple of statements by Jesus Christ that are a blessing along these lines of trust. John chapter 11. And in this is when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. In verse 41, he says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Look at verse 42. And I know that thou hearest me always. Now there is trust. I know you always hear. But he said, I said it because the people which stand by said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now when you pray, do you believe that God hears you always? Look at Jesus Christ's confidence, his trust. I know you hear me always. Well, God certainly always hears you. His word says he delights in our prayers. Look at John chapter 16 as well, please. John 16, when Jesus Christ was talking about when all the others would leave him. John chapter 16, verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, when that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Now, did things all go amazingly well for Jesus Christ? No, he was bitten beyond recognition as a human being. But he knew God was still with him. His underlying trust didn't wane. Remember Paul in Acts? He goes, everybody, all day in Asia have forsaken me, but the Lord stood with me. You see, the trust, the underlying trust that God is always there. We build that trust so when situations arise, we don't falter in our believing. And even if we do, we still continue to trust him. Praise him when things are good, when things are bad. That's the underlying trust that ought to never change. In Psalm 56. Psalm 56, there's a difference between believing and trust. Certainly, believing is based on trust. In Psalm 56, verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's where he was going to go. No matter what is going on around us, we stay steadfast. I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? Is thine anger cast down? The people, O God, in thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, God is for me. God is for him. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. And we know those wonderful verses in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We're not to lean onto our own understanding. You see, the psalmist here is saying, doesn't matter what was going on around him. And in here, you can read that, this in Psalm of David, there was a lot going on around him. Yet in the midst of all that, I will trust in thee. I will trust in thy word. Look at Psalm 91. While we're in Psalms, let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will see of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Are there snares around? Is there pestilence around? Of course, yet he says that he will continue to trust in God. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Look at all the things that can be going on around us. Look at all the things that we can be in the midst of. Yet in the middle of all that, our undergirding trust, the underlying trust is to be there in God. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. See? What happens if things don't work? What did Job say? He goes, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Sort of like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. See, no matter what is going on around us, whatever we happen to be in the midst of, we're to continue to diligently, day by day, day after day, build that trust in God. And that trust is based on His Word. Not to add to His Word, not to take away from His Word, we're to incline to it, remember it, trust, and not to forget our God who delivers, is delivering, and will continue to deliver. We're going to close in Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, another wonderful chapter you all know well. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go near the end and start in verse 32. See, the faith that we read about in this chapter amongst these wonderful believers that, you know, we call the Hall of Fame of Believers. This kind of faith, this kind of believing in God and the information God provides, it doesn't just show up one day. You know, you stay patient, you stay steadfast, you stay the course. Some of these records we read about, some of these men, there are many decades between the verses recording about their lives. So what do they do between those verses, those decades, during all those time? What do they do? I'm sure that it wasn't just they just forgot about God and never even looked to Him. They certainly built their believing. They certainly built their confidence so that they could have an underlying trust in the God that took care of them through thick and through thin. Look at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Look at this part of the chapter giving us a wonderful list of all those who conquered because they believed in God. They saw great results in their by their believing. And certainly they had built that underlying trust that is required on which believing, consistent believing is based. Where are we? Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And now there's a switch here. And others. Now it switches to and others. And let's see what it says here after and others. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Now that doesn't sound too good, does it? Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were slain. They were sawn asunder, sorry. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. So you have a few verses here of records of those who conquered, and now we have a few verses on those who ended up in very dire circumstances. And yet, both categories of people here. Look what it says the next verse. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. The world wasn't worthy of any of them. Whether they conquered to their faith or whether they were not able to do it. Whether they were not able to receive deliverance. And in that case, when it says not accepting deliverance, that doesn't mean it wasn't possible. It means they refused to bow like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't take the road where they compromised on God's word. As a result, they ended up in situations that were not so wonderful. But regardless, those who conquered, those who didn't, the scriptures tell us that the world is not worthy of any of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't even receive the promise. They looked ahead to it and lived their lives trusting God in light of it. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 12, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Like we learned last week, my brother was teaching on, that we faint not. We don't faint. We don't let it get to us. We don't bow. We do not give in. because we know God is right. God is reliable. His word is reliable, and we can trust him, and we can build a life of trust on his word. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. See, the value of your faithful stand will only be realized in eternity. And sure, you may not understand all the things that come your way or why you get in certain situations or why you might say be tempted to say, oh, I wasn't able to believe in that situation. And even if you don't understand things, I've taken in my life to defer to Romans, what I call Romans 9 thinking, where it says, shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me this way? You know, God is God. His ways and thoughts are higher than ours. And we don't know everything that's going on in situations. I'm not going to question God. I'm not going to say, why'd you make me this way? I'm going to try my best to continue instead to build trust in God regularly. Trust based on his word. So when situations arise, we can go to him because we know he delivers, is delivering, and will deliver. Never leaves or forsakes us. Takes care of us, watches over us, so we don't stray, we don't give in, we don't go into despair, because we have learned to trust him. Okay? God bless.